If you have a Bible, electronic device, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm in 12 through 21. Now, I'm preaching on how we're supposed to know Christians, know one another as Christians. It's interesting because this is a certain God way that is counterintuitive to the ways that we learn from the world, from knowing one another. And what it is, it's no longer according to the flesh, our flesh. Now, generally, when people think of others, the way they look and how they feel about them, that comes to mind. How someone is dressed, their attitudes, their personality, their social status, all these things are common. But with you, is your foremost thought whether they are spiritually saved or not? Whether that person is a brother or sister in Christ? Is that what you're thinking when you first encounter someone? Because it is the foremost consideration that God wants you to have about anyone. He wants you to size up, is this person saved or not? To the best of your ability. Okay, based on Scripture. You're not judging them as to where you're the one that's condemning them. No, you're discerning. And you're allowed to make mistakes in discernment. But to the best of your ability, based upon Scripture, you should be trying to discern the answer quickly to know how to proceed. Because that's what's going on. Is that person a temple of the Holy Spirit? And what you think you discern is your starting point. And if you think someone is unsaved, then you should treat them as being spiritually dead, empty of the Holy Spirit's presence. And you know, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, they are natural-minded, and so they embrace spiritual deception. They have a spiritual handicap. And their thinking is always going to be influenced by it. But if you think someone is spiritually saved, you are supposing they are something radically and inherently different. As sinners saved by grace, real grace, they always have a supernatural work always going on in them. Every single one of us here that's a Christian. Okay? We all have that. And how you proceed in your relationships should be based upon this starting point. Who people are, either in Christ, with Christ in them, or outside Christ, which as Paul says in Ephesians 2:2, means they have the deceptive spirit at work in them, as a child of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. And 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21 teaches us about this. And I'm going to read the context, starting at 5:12. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to boast about us. That's the apostles. And Paul's speaking for the apostolic team. And he's speaking to the Corinthians. So that you, Corinthians, will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we, apostles, are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ compels us. That's a beautiful right there. Having concluded this, that one died for all, that's Jesus, therefore all died, and he died for all so that they who live should no longer live for themselves. That means live in Christ. And so remember the rule about all. All in the Bible, all always means all. But it only means all of what is meant. So it's not always a universal thing when it's abbreviated as all. It has to do with the context that you're reading. And those who live should no longer live for themselves. That's living their life of Christ. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we, he's still talking about the apostles, know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us. Notice that this is already to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what the apostles did. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we would become the righteousness of God in him. Prepare your heart for this sermon. How to know Christians no longer according to the flesh. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you guide me. I want to preach accurately, Father. And I have tried to study to get to that point, be faithful to certain precepts that are foundations. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me to do that. But with that, make the words be understandable and to build up everybody, that we would learn the truth and live the truth. This is what I'm asking in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when Paul said they no longer know anyone according to the flesh, his specific point is about Christians with Christians, being new creations, where the old things passed away and the new things have come. That's what he's talking about in the context. But anyone outside Christ is known according to their flesh. So for our understanding, anyone spiritually regenerated by God, new creations, you know, as Paul said, the old self was crucified and they are now this new creation. This is a spiritually saved person. So spiritually saved people are way more than just flesh. Know that when you see another Christian or you're with another Christian or even think about them. All Christians, though, have flesh. And so the issue is this point that we have flesh, we have to see through this because we exist in fleshly bodies. And so you have to see through to what is not according to the flesh. And in 10:2-4, Paul said, some regard us as if we walk according to the flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, Paul says, which is the distinction from being in or being according to. So Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divine. They're of God. But as you interact with people, intuitively, it seems you're interacting with just flesh. And that, you know, like the brain organ has everything to do with your personality and what you're interacting with when your brain is interacting with somebody else's brain. We kind of think this way. Because in the natural world, this is the way flesh knows flesh. But knowing the way God does, and this is what it's all about with Scripture. This is why we rely on what the Scripture says. But knowing the way God does, this flesh you have, you carry around with you, is a remnant of your spiritually unsaved existence of your past, the part you still carry around with you. And when you were unsaved, you were absent of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit changed you, giving you his spiritual life. His life is the life, actually, of your regeneration. You live according to the Holy Spirit. So here's what this change does to your knowing others. On one level, you now know with the mind of Christ. Like right now, we're saved, we have the mind of Christ, and then we learn. And with his mind, you no longer know anyone according to observations and intuitions of your old self of the flesh, but it's God's mind. And so your change, this is one level, your change gets you thinking right, but only if you align it with biblical insights. But you know people now according to who you are in Christ, according to your insights as a born again, a regenerated, a new creation person. And on another level, you no longer know other Christians according to identifying them as their old flesh they carry around with them. Instead, you know them according to their spiritual regeneration in Christ. This is what God wants. This is what he does. It's taught. And so when you encounter a Christian, you're supposed to think of them this way. You see, with the eyes of salvation, you see that the Holy Spirit is in them. So we've got that old carton, that old flesh that's carrying us around, right? But we carry the Holy Spirit around in us because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. But the Corinthians, they were doing the opposite. And so what was going on with them is they liked people or they discounted people according to the flesh. And their standards of failure or success were according to the flesh. This is something we shouldn't be doing. The Corinthian way represents the problem we all face. And Paul is saying, what you are in Christ is not what you look like, even when you don't do things perfectly. Now, yes, God wants you to look more like what you are in him with him in you. So the Lord says to put the ways of your old self away and keep trying to act like the new self that you are. But first, and this is important, Christ crucified the flesh of every Christian by his work. Then he resurrected a new you and a new them to live for them. And so it says, Jesus died for all, therefore all died. But then it says, and he died for all so that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. All who receive and believe get a blessing of death. Think about this. All who receive and believe get a blessing of death. What is it? It's the death to your old self. And what we're supposed to see with eyes of the Spirit with any Christian is that death of the old person is the only way they who live do live right now. So that's how you think of them. It's resurrection life that you're encountering, that you know as a Christian. It's spiritually the life that's in him right there and then. With all of us, with you and any other Christian out there, even while having the fleshly body which appears like it's the same person. Without this blessing of death to the old person which is imputed from Christ Jesus, this is a real miracle action. If they don't get it, people don't get it, people perish in their sins and their flesh forever. So, with the death of the old self, this is all God's plan. The spiritually saved receive the blessing of spiritual life of the new self, as Paul says in this passage, from him. And this is important because that life from him is the life any Christian lives for him. So we're laying out a foundation. And this is the way that you must know Christians. Galatians 2:20 shows the pattern that Christians, this is you by the way, all Christians, have been crucified with Christ. And it says, and it's no longer their old self who lives. It's no longer your old self who lives, but Christ living in us, and the life which we now live in the flesh, well, it's like operating in a vessel. You know, all Christians live the life that God put in their vessel, but it's not according to the flesh. It's the life which they now live in the flesh, and it says this, they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself up for them. So we walk around in these bodies. We have this. It's a remnant of the old. But the old, spiritually dead person is crucified in God. And the life we have now, where we walk around in this, is the life of Christ. And if you do not treat others according to what is in their heart, as Paul says in verse 12, what you're doing is you're getting away from this understanding. And it happens to all of us. You're getting away from faith. You're not dealing with people biblically. And so this is the thing that I must do, you must do, we all must do. You must make yourself act like the body that you're stuck in, the bodies that we are stuck in, are only a remnant of our previous existence in Adam, that you're dealing with someone that's made alive with Christ Jesus' life. And focus on that. So it's about focus as well. And then from that foundation, from there, understanding that only because of that, all who live in Christ are urged now to no longer live our new life for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. And if someone fails the urging, they still exist in the foundation because the foundation is stable. So you know that any sin and any mistakes and any imperfections, and you know we all make mistakes, right? Right? And we all sin. And any irritations. Now, you might not think you're irritating other people, but maybe you think there's some Christians that irritate you. Irritations of others. Any of those things, listen to me, they do not erase the foundation of you or that other person. And so you can see them like yourself, because this is what we all are. We're construction projects to apply the Word of God to. And in love and grace and long-suffering, the building project is ongoing. And when you look at other Christians and what they've done, think this. I don't know you according to what you just did. Now, they are accountable, but this is the knowing. Remember, no longer knowing people according to the flesh. I don't know you according to what you just did. Think, I know You are what Jesus did for you and is doing in you. You are his grace vessel. You are his new creation. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And this awareness keeps you from condemning a brother or sister while appropriating biblical understanding in how to handle them. And because you see their foundation, you know the right approach is to encourage them to reflect the new life they are in the Spirit as well. And so you can comfort and you can urge with the goal to build them up in what they are, that they who live in Christ should no longer live for the ways of their old selves. It's that you will not try to tear them down with condemnation. You will help them to manifest more of the life of Christ than of their old self, which died with Christ. And so when Paul said, therefore, from now on we know no one according to the flesh, meaning ours or theirs, from his point of view, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer, Paul's pointing to the foundation. And so each moment is from now on, you don't know anyone according to the flesh. Each moment's that way. But what does Paul mean by saying this? Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Well, it's a comparison of how to recognize people from now on. So Christ Jesus came in sinless flesh in his pre-cross ministry as God's only begotten Son, 100% man, 100% God. And his body was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then the body of his flesh was crucified. And then he rose from the dead with glorified flesh. He's different. He's a super being. And we who have received and believed in him for salvation, we know him according to his spiritual glorified body, as Paul explains it to be in 1 Corinthians 15:44. But the unsaved only know Jesus according to the way the flesh knows him. So Paul said, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so that's the comparison. Know Christians the way you know Christ Jesus. Do you understand? This is how we're supposed to know other Christians, as crucified and resurrected. We know them as we know Christ. It's seeing the body of Christ the way God sees. You see God's plan fulfilled and it's unfolding in each object of his grace right before your eyes, because we are all objects of his grace. Paul said, now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he said, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. If you do not consistently conclude what God has concluded, then you will do what the world tells you is normal. You will act and react to Christians the way the world taught you to act. You're going to slip back into the flesh, flesh-oriented talk, you know, attitudes, gossip, condemnation, cussing, condemning, criticizing. You're going to go into approaches to your brothers and sisters in Christ that are the ways of the flesh. They're not fruits of the Holy Spirit. And what it is, it's a kind of misplaced faith that acts like it knows things rightly, see, because it just seems right, but since it's according to the flesh, it's getting the whole thing wrong. And this is the way the world operates. And this was the Corinthian problem. And the apostles refused the temptation to go the same route. And so the concern for us is that the same stumbling block to Corinthians is the same stumbling block we find today. It's the ease of getting away from the way God knows things. It's so easy. And it happens everywhere. It's a very common thing in marriages of Christian spouses. Also with Christian parents and Christian children. This whole principle. But taking our lesson from Paul, the sensitivity was with all Christians, every single Christian, and it drove his actions through all the people problems he experienced from the Christians that he ministered to. And Paul wasn't perfect, but this is the understanding, the faith, and the revelation that he had that he sought to walk by. And those Corinthians were treating Paul in extremely offensive and condescending ways. God's apostle, but foundationally a Christian. And they're Christians. They gossiped about him. They ridiculed him. And they wrongly accused him of untrue things. So get this. It was just as much a faith issue with Paul the Apostle as it is with you. So he thought of the Corinthians as Christians, the saved ones. And he stood on believing these things about all Christians, that they are from God, who reconciled all of us to himself through Christ. He wants the Corinthians to know that. Do you really believe God has created Christianity to be this way? This question's for everyone here. Then start making your own actions follow your revelation that you're getting from God on this. Paul knew that to act, even react, any other way, is to believe Christianity is something different than it is. And that's exactly what the immature Corinthians were doing in misplaced faith, faith in the flesh. And so say this, since these things are from God, in faith, I will not look at any Christian any other way. I believe God. And so because I believe God, I'm going to live like it's true. Now, you might get a boss at work who claims to be a Christian, but he treats you badly. Or maybe a friend who treats you badly. Actually, it could be anyone that's a Christian. It could be a family member. The thing is, you think you've been treated badly. But on your end, have you concluded to know that person as a new creation? See, do you believe it? Now, even though you might not like that person very much, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about liking people. Or you know they are sinning. They're in some sin right now. A fuller faith to go beyond being able to identify the sin is this understanding of who they are as a new creation. A fuller faith goes beyond expecting repentance. Your fuller faith, on your part, is keeping the foundation there, knowing that Christian, no longer according to the flesh, but according to the foundation. Maybe a Christian irritates you so much that it just, you can't sleep at night. Could be someone here. Maybe you have a biblical interpretation that they have that you disagree with. Maybe it's something rude that they've done. And it could even be some sin. Well, they are accountable to God, but you have an onus on you to keep yourself from slipping. And namely, God is telling you not to treat them according to the flesh. Paul says in verse 14, I love this, for the love of Christ compels us. He's always saying that. Doctrine after doctrine after doctrine, he'll come back to this, the love of Christ. Because the love of Christ is your deepest theology. It's the highest virtue. It's the sweetest fruit of the Spirit. And the love of Christ is the new covenant law for a new kind of person. A new kind. But the love of Christ will be diminished if you go back to the ways and thinking of the old flesh. And you treat another Christian like they are the old flesh. A contingent love comes out, which is something that's not what's talked about here. And a contingent love, like the ways of the old flesh, will be controlling your actions. It'll control your reactions. And so what happens when you're offended? Well, you need to conclude that you must manifest the love of Christ to that new creation. Conclude that it requires a new way that you love one another the way Jesus loves you. And believe that it's the only way to be. That it's the best way. Now, conclude that you don't compete with a new creation for a place of honor. That's not what we're doing. Conclude that you don't hold grudges with another new creation. Now, what if someone is not exciting or physically attractive or eloquent or has a lot of money? Not dynamic. It's not famous. You just treat them as you should treat your recreated self, which is according to the love that Christ has for every one of his people. Remember the connection to God. That it's from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. You're reflecting his way, the way of Jesus. Paul said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. It's God's forgiveness of sins. It's God's way. It's God's knowledge that all his people are reconciled to him with no trespass held against them. And so God is our model. That's who we're matching up with. Your love is not to count the trespasses of those same people against them. But then Paul said something that can throw you off. After saying God reconciled us to himself through Christ and that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, he says to the Corinthian church, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, why was the apostolic team, now think about this, imploring the church there on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God? After all, Christians are already reconciled to God according to the Spirit. Well, there are three views which seem to me to be the best. And let me go through them. One is that Paul means those who are saved, having already been reconciled to God spiritually, he's using a play on words, they need to also be reconciled to God in another way, which is to agree with God concerning the importance of Paul's calling, his anointing, and his ministry along with his fellow workers for the gospel, the argument that he makes in all of 2 Corinthians. And since the Christians getting the letter have already been reconciled to God in spiritual salvation, their need in their immature attitudes is to embrace the grace of God in fully recognizing that God sent Paul as their apostle and God's ambassador. He says we're ambassadors for Christ. And like Paul, they also need to regard no one according to the flesh. So it would be Paul imploring them as a diplomatic messenger with God-given authority, like God speaking through him, as he says, telling them to be reconciled in these things which reflect the spiritual reconciliation they already have in Christ. And like I said, contextually, it goes with the apostles urging to recognize their apostolic calling based on the foundation, not the ways of the world. And it lines up with 5:11. 5:11, where Paul said, we apostles are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. And 6:12, you are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections towards us. I speak as the children, open wide to us. And 7:2, make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you. It's amazing that the apostles had to write this to the early Christians. Now, this is one view, and it has some merits. Another one is that Paul was addressing the whole group at Corinth, which includes both Christians and some who had gotten among them yet not truly saved, like, for example, the false apostles that he mentions in the epistle. So it would be those that Paul knew had claimed to be Christians, but they weren't. They were what we would call tares among the wheat. And since Paul was an ambassador of Christ writing to defend his apostleship from those attacking it, he would simply be stating that what he's doing is part of his ministry. And so imploring, like God speaking through him, was for any there in Corinth who had not yet been saved by God's grace through faith to be reconciled to God through Paul's good news. And I think this view has some merit. Another view, which is similar, sees Paul as simply reminding the Corinthians of the apostles' message of evangelism, of reconciliation, that they always preach. And so it would be not that Paul is actually telling the Corinthians to be reconciled to God in an evangelistic call, right in the middle of writing all this, since they're already reconciled to God spiritually. It would be Paul saying the apostles are ambassadors acting in such a way that God is speaking to them. So as such, his description, what he's saying, is of their ministry, that it's authentic. And so Paul would be re-explaining the way God speaks to the apostles as those who implore on behalf of Christ that the Corinthians and anyone else anywhere must be reconciled to God. And this view sees Paul using a figure of speech saying, we implore you, as a reminder of what his job is. And the fact that he was called to implore people everywhere, that would be his point. After all, it is the fabric of the ministry Paul is defending. And that also is a view that has some merit. Now, I lean toward the first one the most, that those who are saved, having already been reconciled to God spiritually, also need to be reconciled to God in agreement with God concerning the importance of Paul's calling, anointing, and ministry along with his fellow workers of the gospel. And I like some of the things of the other views, so I don't really discount them straight out. But there is something of importance in all the views, which is very consistent, all right? And it's this. According to the Spirit, we no longer know ourselves or any other Christian according to the flesh. According to the Spirit, we recognize the rest of the world is really according to the flesh, perishing in their sins to be doomed without Christ. And so our recognition must drive our actions. Now, my urging is to practice acting like the way you know your brothers and sisters is according to the Spirit. My urging is that you conclude and know them in such a way as someone crucified with Christ, no matter who they are, even the super irritating ones, and that person is spiritually resurrected with him, that person is a sanctified being to be treated in a sanctified way by you. Amen?